Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Happy New everybody. Happy New everybody.
Because
that's how I send text messages in the new year when I'm drunk. I forget the year. It's Happy New everyone. So Happy New everyone.
Happy New.
Okay, maybe I'm sorry.
Happy New everybody.
Shut up.
I love it though. It's so cute. I love it. Happy New everyone. Happy New.
Maybe I should be recording today.
Well, we had it out, but we decided to just go with the energy of Happy New Everybody. Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast about nerdery, geekism, and all one-y in between.
Okay, shut up. Nathan's taking a piss.
I find it cute. From a South London postcode. And I am owning the cuteness of that. Merry New Year, Umboya, 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 aha. And if you don't know what that's from, I ain't got time for y'all trading places. So, this episode, first off, I want to give gratitude to everybody who has commented, sent an email, downloaded, laughed along, got angry, not liked our takes, but felt moved to send voice notes, which I've heard quite a few from y'all. But they've all been in good spirit and good fun. Long may it continue, and I enjoy doing this. I'm not going to speak for the boys. Then they can say how they feel about this. But today's just kind of a relaxed, chilled out, talking summary of 2022 and what went down, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we want to see more of, what we want to see less of, kind of thing. So, how y'all doing?
Yeah.
Instant classic and I'm big man blue red.
I'm not as bad as other people are.
Oh, some people are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Hurting and sore.
But at the end of the day, I got drunk last night, but at the same time, I was able to wake up and do a couple hours of my day job. And,
wow.
And sort out breakfast for me and my friend and make sure she got home fine. And
You're on point.
Yeah, so I'm doing work.
good on you.
Really? Man,
how you feeling?
I'm not too bad. It's not too bad. It's a new year. We'll see how it goes. No expectations, no disappointments. And just sending love and positive vibes to all those that have listened, supported us and backed us since we've started this. Without you guys and the lovely two siblings next to me, there wouldn't be this podcast.
Okay, bless you. Smooth talker, but Bruv's the most active. Bruv has like done work, done breakfast, been hospitable. Wow, well done, bro.
Yeah, mate, good bacon sandwich.
You're winning. You are winning already into the new year. Yeah, basically, if you can't tell me, I'm recording this on the 1st of Jan. So, yeah, I have not been so productive. I have clothes on. That's about it. Yeah. Thank you. I drank tea and I have clothes on. That's the most you're going to get from me.
Do you know what? I need a tea. I haven't had tea all day. I've had a tea before, after this. So.
Have a tea, bro. Have a tea, man. Make it sweet, though. Hits the spot. Mm-hmm. Anywho, before we have a little tea, let's have a little chat to the people there and ourselves. What were your highlights for 2022? Lowlights for 2022? Don't want to see it again.
Let's see.
After 2022.
Highlights, I would say Vince McMahon retiring.
Yes!
Yeah, a high one.
You've been asking since the beginning of this podcast, you know. I think since our first episode about wrestling, you were asking, begging, pleading for man to put it down. And finally, man's gone.
Do you know what gets me about... Do you know what it feels... What I felt like? It felt like... Do you know when you... There's that colleague or boss that everyone hates, everyone in unison hates, but they're so far up and someone high up likes them, so that you're stuck with them regardless of how many complaints you make about them. They're always there, but then that one time they finally get caught and they're out the door. That's what it felt like, and I bet you that's how it felt for for all the WWE universe. It was just such a
a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It is. New reign. Everyone seems to be happy. People that had their contracts terminated made a lovely return. All positive vibes, so you can't complain. And Vince, I hope you're listening to this or for this some way in the future.
Vince McMahon is subscribed and waiting. He's just waiting a hot minute for us to have a Patreon so he can put money to us. He's waiting for that. That's what he's doing.
Imagine that.
I get an email from Vince McMahon. It's like,
he'll probably put money in there to make us to help us fail.
Yeah. He will. Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna invest in you so I can bring you to the heights and let you fail. And I'm gonna wear a do-rag. And
it's like, oh man.
Oh my god. When I heard the news, The first thing I thought of for some reason was that gift, that Bill Duke gift. You know, he done fucked up, right? That's what I thought of. I was just like, finally. I think I didn't even believe it when the news dropped. But the man thinks, bruv, I think we're having a conversation about something else random. And you said where around the campfire is, he's going to go. And we were like, I don't know. That man's slippery. And you're right. It's like that person who actually has got away with murders for so long, and then suddenly it's like, oh, that was too far. And it's like, what do you mean too far? I've been going too far the whole... This is the line? And it's like, yeah, this is it.
I feel like he might have gotten away from with murder a few times, to be honest.
No. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Jason said allegedly.
Allegedly, sorry, Jason.
Allegedly.
But I'm just saying, he probably has got away with murder, allegedly.
You know what? The dark side of the ring needs to do some investigation. It's either that was going to be one of the longest and most successful true crime podcasts.
Imagine that. Like I'm like in 2023. See, didn't I say it? How many bodies did they find? How many bodies? Didn't I say it? Oh, no.
It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me if it was like, that was next year's true crime podcast. Vince McMahon. The man, the myth, the murder, the what?
The man, the myth, the murder.
You saying that, I have to laugh though. There was a documentary done by Vice TV about Vince that came out a few weeks ago, which ironically is called The Nine Lives of Vince McMahon. I would honestly say, grab a drink, make sure it's a strong one, and watch this hard-hitting documentary of the sheer liberties one man has done and still got away with. I'm not going to reveal anything, but it starts from a very, very young age of the shit this man has put people through, paying a referee to perform sexual favours on him in the back of a car.
Oh, that's the one that came out recently. I remember about that.
Yeah, you know
what we're trying to say? What we're trying to say is a stand-up guy, misunderstood, and
well, are you still drunk? You okay? You're right. You smell OG. You know, that tea's calling. My God.
What I'm trying to say
is,
if fuck you, Vince. Just stay dead.
Stay gone. Stay gone. Do not come back. Do not return. I've got to say, my highlights, because I haven't had the, honestly, you, headspace, brain space to go and just, it's been a mad year for me, so I've not been able to go to cinema as much as I like. In fact, I don't think I've touched cinema in 2022. Just I haven't touched it, so I haven't got to see a lot of things. I haven't seen Wakanda Forever. I've not seen a lot of things. I went to see the cinema, so it's a shame. Actually, I think that's a lie. I think I ended up at a cinema watching To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. So that's actually the weirdest thing. I did end up in Prince Charles Cinema, shout every time. And I went to see To Wong Fu because we obviously need to obviously put respect on Wesley Snipes for being a drag queen and being unapologetic about it. And the fact that Patrick Swayze, may he rest, looked absolutely gorgeous. So yeah. I haven't, but what I have been doing is gaming a lot. And I've got to say, the soundtracks on gaming have been a highlight.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The soundtracks have been absolutely just like, even like from little games like a game called Floodland. You know when you find yourself humming a tune again and again and you're like, I need to hit a soundtrack. Yeah. I just started playing Cult of the Lamb. I honestly love that game. That might be one of my games of the year. That is just, it just hits my thing of dungeon crawling. It shows me, and also I'm going to do this live because I haven't said this to my brother. I have to give credit to my brother because my brother pushed me to play games out of my comfort zone from years ago. He really gave me a push into and held my hand a lot of times to kind of play games and stuff. So when I got through like the first two bosses of Cult of the Lamb, I had to look around and be like, is this game really, really easy or have I come that far? And I realized I've come that far. So thank you, bro, because honestly, it's really enjoyable. It's enjoyable, your management simulation, but also dungeon crawling. It's not a long game. Apparently, it's like 10, 15 hours of your time. But and I love the animation of it. It's really funny. It's really enjoyable. And the soundtrack, just, I love it. It's really just, it's lovely. It's up there with Hades.
Yeah, Hades is in still terms got of one soundtrack, of the best soundtrack.
Still has one of the best soundtracks that I even put on. I just let run in the background. I mean, I know Hades isn't from 2022,
but
I think
2021.
Hades 2 was announced, and I'm really looking forward to it. And if you haven't played Hades, I'll say it again, pick up Hades. But gaming was a real highlight this year. The Quarry, which we need to finish, which I lost my game, so I have to do that whole bit again because my PC died. Yeah, my hard drive died, so I have to do that bit again. But that was slightly terrifying, I'll be honest. And
it
being
wasn't
in control,
that bad.
Being in control for a change was fun, but also like, oh my god, the pressure. And but there were a lot of really interesting good games that came out this year, small and large. But also I think we're seeing, finally, I think people are done with paying £70 for a game that don't work.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because obviously, so like one of our favourite game series, Saints Row, the remake came out this year and it was panned mainly because of all the bugs it released with. And I got the game. I bought it recently because it went heavily down in price, and I've been playing it. And it's not a bad game. I haven't been dealing with any of the bugs that were breaking the game in the first place. But so it's bittersweet for me because at the same time, it's like, no, we shouldn't be putting up with games that come out fucked up like that on day release. It's not a place for it anymore. We shouldn't accept it.
Exactly.
And this is and sadly, Volition, the developers have been absorbed now. So the company that provided all these games, like the Saints Row series and so on and so forth, is now technically gone. And it just goes to show that we're not going to take it anymore, because if we pay for a service, we expect to be provided with a service. So yeah, nah. So
couldn't
have
said any better myself, bro. After the 2K, was it
2K20? 2K, no, 2K,
oh God, 2K20, 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 Yeah, that was, oh my, that. Callisto Protocol's not one that's had problems as well.
But they got fixed it almost instantly.
They got fixed so instantly, which is good. Because you can't be putting down, £70 to £80 for a game.
Mm.
120 with passes and what have you, and the game doesn't work. And I'm glad that we're kind of coming away from this whole thing of like, well, look at No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky was not £70 when it dropped.
And to be fair, it wasn't buggy, it was just empty.
It was empty. Now, the game, I mean, I played No Man's Sky the week it came out and tried to talk myself into it and then gave it up. Because I was like, yeah, this is actually is boring. This is not doing half of what it said. And, you know, the outrage was justified, in my opinion, because you can't promise that. Where it's at now, it's a completely different game. It's it's beyond what was promised, actually. If you like that kind of game, that's what I'm going to say. If you like the kind of game where you are exploring, you are doing a bit of fetch, you are doing a lot of like base building and exploration, No Man's Sky is absolutely brilliant. It really, really is. And it looks, I mean, the recent updates with the changing and some of the looks on it are breathtaking as far as I'm concerned. But I think around 2020, 2021, there's a lot of kind of like, well, our games are crap, but look at No Man's Sky. And it's like, yeah, but the difference is No Man's Sky hasn't charged for any of that update. They haven't charged at all for any of it. You can still play it on Game Pass and it goes up and down in price. But for what you get, you're like, oh, okay, fair enough. That's fantastic. But some of these people want 70, 80, 120, £150 for a game that's half finished, not done. And we do, I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing of that is also Cyberpunk.
Elephant in the room, you can't ignore it.
It binned all the goodwill that CD Projekt Red. People were even prepared to accept crunch in the face of CD Projekt Red and what they were doing for Cyberpunk to be good. And it wasn't. And I'm speaking for somebody whose husband, you know, has obsessed about this from inception, played the tabletop, was ready for it, was even more forgiving, and he downloaded it, sitting there waiting for the embargo to lift so he could play that game. And it was disappointing, beyond disappointing. And it just erased all the goodwill that had been generated from Witcher 3, which is why I find it ironic now that we've got the kind of the enhanced Witcher 3 coming out.
The next gen upgrade.
Yeah, that's kind of, I've downloaded it. I didn't think that game could look prettier. It's pretty. I kind of want to rush through to get to the DLC because I want to see that looked gorgeous anyway.
Yeah.
So seeing that on my system running the way it's supposed to run, I'm waiting for what I call the rapture moment. I think I've said it before on a podcast, whereas to me, like, the pinnacle of a scene that's took my breath away is when you play BioShock 3 and you come up from the mist and you go up the clouds and you see Columbia for the first time.
Yeah.
And you see how beautiful it is, and you just like, I mean, Troy, it's the magnificence of Troy Baker as he's like, oh wow, and you're like, oh, and it makes you take your breath away. To me, that's what I want to see in a lot of games like that. So I'm wondering when I play the DLC for Witcher 3 if I'll see that, but I will report back.
Do you know what game took me by surprise of how much I like it. I didn't think I was gonna like it that much. And yeah, I thought I'd find it enjoyable, but I've actually fallen in love with it.
What's that?
High on Life.
Oh, really?
High on Life is a fun game and it's hilarious. Yeah? It bombards you with a lot of voices because obviously the guns talk, and then you've got like this little screensaver, like, do you know, like the paperclip on Windows back in the day.
Yeah.
You've got like a similar thing like that who comes in and starts talking to you occasionally, and a lot of time you're being, and like, I recently got a gun called Gus, who's basically a shotgun, and it's clearly a black man, and he just sounds like one of our uncles.
Wow.
And it's just a joy to I was just like, Gus, man, where have you been? But no, in all fairness, if you like Rick and Morty, you like that sense of humor, I highly recommend playing it. And another thing, the game looks beautiful. It's actually
it gorgeous. Really does look pretty.
So yeah, I highly recommend High on Life. I'm doing actually a gameplay at the moment on the channel. So
I'm
check
gonna
it
put
out.
A link in the description for that. Yeah.
Cool.
Nick, man, what about you? What's been tipping in anything? You know, games, well, films, fair, TV, games, everything.
It's an interesting one. For games wise, the standout is God of War.
I knew you were gonna say that.
You can say that.
No, you know what, there are certain games that you get involved, you get immersed in, and to be fair, all the hype about it, I'm like, no, I'm not gonna get involved. And then when I saw the trailer, I went, yeah, I'm getting involved. And I think from the get-go, I was keeping it spoiler-free, but there is a fight that you have with a certain god that walks around with a hammer. I could honestly say I yelled at 2 a.m. at the TV in anger because this fight, actually, I thought I broke one of my fingers because I'm the control pad on and the person will not stay down. Yeah, and it's irritating me. And when the scene was over, oh no, I got working free. I thought, like, this is a good look. Yeah, oh, hell of wow. a game. Yeah, hell of a game.
Yeah.
And that is everything that they've done. The graphics are amazing. I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest. There's so many times in this game I forgot what I'm doing. I'm just looking at the graphics. They're just that clean move. And that's what the next gen's about. On a side note, surprisingly, I'm enjoying Gotham Knights. I've only just started playing that.
I recently got the tune. It's better than I expected it because obviously I've heard all the backlash and
yeah.
And so I wasn't expecting much, but obviously I got on a discount. Yeah. And it's pretty good. It's fun.
It is. And that's the thing is, don't be wrong, it's not in the level of the previous Arkham games and I wasn't expecting it to. But for the intro alone, it had me from that, and that's why I thought, you know what, this is not a bad game.
Yeah.
Yes, it's repetitive, but you get past that because the more you do, the more you open up, the more you see.
Yeah, because I think the main problem with the game is that it's not an Arkham Knights game. It's not a Rocksteady game. That's a problem that people can't seem to get past. Because I remember when Arkham Origins came out, and that technically wasn't a Rocksteady game. It was a Warner Brothers game.
Yeah.
But people shouting it because it wasn't a Rocksteady game. But if people play the game, they'll realize the game was really good. Mm. Troy Baker's Batman, Troy Baker's Joker was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And the way it showed the origins of certain characters in that world happening in Arkham Origins was done so perfectly well. Again, I'm still quite early in it. But so far I can't see what the problem is that people saw in it. Again, I feel like the problem that people have with it is that it wasn't the Arkham game.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, I mean, TV wise, well, there hasn't been that much. I mean, to knock this one straight out of the bat, the Quantum Leap reboot, or shall I say continuation.
Oh, is it actually a continuation?
It's a continuation.
Oh.
Game home and we'll be satisfied. That's all I'm gonna say. If I'm getting home, I'm not watching it until you tell me how it ends. I don't give a shit anymore. I don't care. Spoil it for me. Tell me he gets home and I'm cool.
Because I still want most heartbreaking endings. What Dr. Sonya Beckett never made it home.
Yeah, because
like, what?
Yeah, because I remember because I think I was watching it with you that night when it came on. I think it was BBC Two. It came on.
Yeah.
And I was like, because obviously my reading wasn't great back then, and I was like, what happened? And you went, he never got home, and I was like, what do you mean never got home? But he gets home, right? And I couldn't comprehend. That's how shows could have bad endings. and you're like, no, he can get home. And I was like, but he was a monkey. He got pregnant.
Did
he had to, he became
he
black and
devil by Stephen King.
Yeah, that was weird too.
That was
fought the fucking devil.
He did. Yeah, oh my god, that was such a good episode. Oh my god, that episode with the devil.
So,
and they couldn't find him. Oh my god, that was such a good episode.
So yeah, so let me get it straight. You make the man fight the devil. You make him pregnant. You make him a black man that has to deal with racial abuse. You make him a woman that almost gets sexually assaulted. You can't send the motherfucker home.
You make him have electroshock therapy where he can't be.
Oh, that was heartbreaking.
It's one of my favorite episodes is when he leaps into someone who's having electroshock therapy and then basically starts to become all of his previous personalities.
Yeah.
And Al has to basically talk to the person with Down syndrome because that's the target and try to help. But luckily the guy could see Al. But that was, and then the fact that the only way they could get him out is he'd have to do something. Sam would have to do something to get another electroshock treatment, and he didn't want to. And it was absolutely heartbreaking. A very good episode about the treatment of people with learning disabilities and mental disabilities. But my God, for the time I'd say, but my God, that episode was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember the begging. He was like, no, it's like, you have to. He's like, Sam, you've got to do this. And he wasn't even talking. He has to talk to all of his personalities that he'd been to make them do something to get shocked again.
Do you know what makes me laugh when I think about Quantum Leap?
What's that?
He was a monkey once. And there was a scene of him as a monkey doing karate to the security guards. So like in my head, I'm picturing what these men are seeing, because obviously we're seeing Sam Beckett, but they're seeing a monkey do karate on them. How fucked up is that in your head?
I feel like it's like the Megan trailer but a monkey, like the dancing which he does, is in my head and has never left, thanks bruv. But now I see a monkey doing that.
Sharon is caring.
That I'm sorry, that dancing with the deadpan, can you imagine, if you went to London Zoo, for some reason, you pass the monkey enclosure and the monkeys are basically having a session like Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san, I would leave. I would be like, nah, they're right. I'm like,
it's not pricey, but happening. Go.
Look, what they're doing drills. They're literally doing. Look what they're doing. Look, they've got P90X on in the background. Look, what's happening? Look, they're training up.
I don't know if you saw this on TikTok. I know you don't use TikTok. I think you might have seen it. There are these guys that do a podcast. They did they asked a question like, would you rather be stuck in a mall with one gorilla or seven black mambas? And the guy goes, easy, I'll stay in the mambas.
Gorilla.
What?
Gorilla.
Why?
Because have you seen what's black mamba poison does to your blood?
Have you seen what a gorilla does to you if he gets offended by you look?
I'd rather do that than have that. So have you ever, no, for real, have you ever seen...
Yes, you're talking to someone who has snake phobias. I know what black mamba snakes do. And I, but... Big man, where do you stand on this? Gorilla or black mambas?
I would probably have to go with the mambas.
Thank you. Because there's seven of them. Granted, like if you're in a big mall and there's seven of them, that's fine. The chance of you running into them is...
I can hear the gorilla coming. The mambas are guaranteed.
If you can hear them coming, that means you can hear your death coming.
Either way, I'm dead.
But you have more of a chance of avoiding the black mambas. Oh my God, it's actually happening. Shit.
were you about to quote Samuel L. Jackson's things? Were you actually about to go there?
No, I wasn't about to go there, but I literally did not. I was just using this as an example. I was going to talk about something completely different. And that's basically turned to... we've got a little tangent of like, why, it's actually happened, shit. I can't even remember where I was going with it. So yeah, we're done.
No, I have to admit, I will give... continuation, basically... They had touched that Sam is still very much alive in the universe, but a new doctor has taken on the experiment, and it's just gone a little bit caca, basically.
The first one went wrong. That's the whole point. The first one went
yeah,
wrong.
Maybe you should do tests to avoid what happened the first time. I mean, the reason why it went wrong the first time because he jumped the gun.
Yeah.
And you're basically telling me they jumped the gun again and now, oh my God.
So can you imagine coming out of that meeting? So we've lost two doctors. Wait, what? So two of them are leaping. We can't get either of them home.
Shut the program down. We're done. Just shut it down. Shut it down. No, not like.
So goes, how about we send a third?
Are you high? Are you high? You're fired. You're fired. Get out. Get out. Shut the fucking thing down.
Where's HR? Where is the due diligence? Where is someone going? Can we bring at least one of them home first before we do anything else? Can we? Can that be the only thing we're working on, is bringing either of them home? Preferably both. And then hope they don't sue the shit out of us.
To be fair, Sam hasn't got any means to sue because he did it to himself. He did.
There is that. But also, duty of care, workplace, just yourself.
It is the future. Technically, they should have a duty of care.
Because the whole thing is if the experiment is how to lose doctors, then they're successful.
That sounds like a really bad reality show. How do you get doctors? Or a Matthew McConaughey film.
I told you, also, one of the highlights of this year is also when I showed you both that Love is Blind. Trixie and Katia watch Love is Blind. I'm going to put the link in the description.
Oh, God.
Because
my
that...
man fake cried and too much rubbish. And they kept it in.
Trixie and Katia watch Love is Blind, and where a man literally on character was talking about how devastated he is that he wasn't chosen to apparently marry someone, and then put fake eye drops live on camera for us to see. And unapologetic. Everybody was shocked by it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
About that. Like,
what's that?
That man clearly told people he was going to be on that show.
That's what I mean.
So he's got to explain to people. Yeah, so what
So why did you fake cry? Because if I saw Big Man on something, one, I'd be like, what are you doing on Love is Blind? One, I'm like, I have a lot of questions as to what on earth you're doing. Yeah. And if I then saw man, one second, and then go in his pocket and bring out, I just, I'd be like, oh, I'm running him for his entire life.
There's no comeback.
All day. Rude boy, when you got out, I would hose you down. I'm like, are your eyes dry? Are your eyes dry? I will honestly... I'd never let you forget this. Big man, I'm sorry I chose you. I just did.
But, no, it's cool. It's all up. Yeah. But no,
brother, but... I can promise there'd be equal opportunities. Because imagine you sit on your friends watching this and you'd be like, yo, bruv, so you... Wait, did you know they were recording? Like...
No, do you know what it reminds me of? Because, like, how many of you... I think it was either a Big Man show, that's this, or it was Dell. Like, there was a film that John Barrowman was in, a shark film.
Oh, no, that weren't me.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was Dell.
Yeah, that's Dell.
There was a scene where he's talking to the love interest, and he basically, John Barrowman goes, okay, how about I'll take you to my place and eat your pussy? And then it cuts straight to them having sex. And John Barrowman, in an interview a few years afterwards, was saying, I don't know why they kept that in. I literally, we were watching the film, and I was like, they kept that. I was like, it was a joke. Why would you keep that in? My kids are watching, like, my nephews and when they're watching this. What the hell? And it was just like, okay. That's what that scene, that's the same energy that that thing you showed me had the exact same energy as that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, I'm stuck on the line of the Barrowman.
Okay, John... I'll link that. I'll give you the link for that.
Link for that, please. Link in the description.
No,
for that.
I have to give props though. I mean, the continuation is not that bad. I mean, the fact that it's been renewed for season two and been given an additional 12 episodes, so it's making it a 22 series run.
Oh,
that says a lot.
I'm really done with series doing over 20 episodes now.
Yeah, to be fair, that is the thing of the past. I'm happy to keep it six for months.
I have the same complaint about true crime documentaries.
Because as much as I love Smallville, they had way too many episodes per season, and legitly about 10 of them were the more important ones you needed to watch.
Well, to be fair, it's not supernatural though, isn't it?
Oh boy, and that's still got. Oh my god!
No, it's actually done. But they are doing a prequel episode.
A prequel show, aren't they?
I listened to
a recording about how that was done and stuff. But yeah,
another series I have to give props to as well, and this is courtesy of Paramount Plus, is Yellowstone with Kevin Costner.
I've been hearing nothing but what's her name? The British chick in there. I forget her name.
Oh, Rachel. Oh, the one that's in Sherlock Holmes, right?
Yeah, her. I haven't seen nothing but clips of her on bloody TikTok and Instagram of her just being a badass.
Oh, like... no, but she is quality in it, though.
Mm.
Oh, Kelly Ryder. Yeah, she's. Yeah. I got into this by someone at work, I think, was saying. You know what? Just check it out. I didn't watch any trailers or anything in it. And by the third episode, I'm like, you know what? This is basically Red Dead Redemption meets Dallas. Yeah, with literally a couple words, gunshots, and someone getting their ass whipped week in, week out. And I recommend it. It is very, very good. I mean, it's got so many prequel series as well.
Yes, yeah, it's one that's starting
with Helen Mirren.
Yeah, starting a few days.
Cool, yeah, as well. And so I know Tom Hanks did one as well. And so it's got a lot of prequel stuff as well. Nice. I must give a massive shout out to the series The White Lotus that was on Showtime or the HBO.
Showtime. I think it's Showtime. I've heard really good things about The White Lotus.
Brilliant. Oh, the first series was something. The second one just blew it out of the park. And again, another program, which is a bit different. I've got to give a shout out to my auntie Simone for this, because me and my auntie have this thing where basically we'll tell each other about a program that we should watch. And 9 out of 10 times, I'll be like, yeah, I'll get to it. And eventually in time I do, like nearly 3 years down the line. But a program that she told me about was a program called The Flash Chair.
A friend of mine shouted that out too.
Brilliant. Basically, the concept is this guy needs a roommate and he finds one, but they have a deal. He has the room between 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. while she works during the day. He does night shifts and he has it when she leaves. So they never ever communicate or walk into each other. They only communicate is leaving post-it notes on the fridge. something happens when they eventually near enough walk into each other, and that's all I'm saying. Brilliant series. Thoroughly recommend it.
Actually, question. Have any of you guys seen or heard of Letterkenny?
Sorry?
Letterkenny?
Yeah, Letterkenny.
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I'm curious how you guys would react to that, because I don't know how you would react to it. Like, it's the only show that I've watched this year, Brett, like, because I think it's on its, like 11th season or something. No, it can't be that much.
Okay.
It's got quite a few seasons. I know, like, you can watch, like, 6 of them on ITVX. And it's basically set in this small town in Canada called Letterkenny. And you follow this tough guy called Wayne. And it's just literally about him just hanging out with his people, just doing shit. But the bars they drop are just hilarious. But I don't know if a sense of humor is for everyone.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of clips of them on TikTok and Instagram of them just like ripping the shit out of people. There's this black woman, there's a token black woman in it called Gail, who's constantly hilarious. She like, she dropped the line to Wayne saying, "Hey Wayne, I give you a 68? And he's like, "What? You go down on me and I owe you one. Yeah. How about that?" And I was just like, wow. I was done after that line. I was like, okay. Is that how it is, Gail? Is that how, okay, yeah. But yeah, I'm very curious to see how you guys would respond to that. I'm very curious, because I don't know if the sense of humor is for everybody. And I don't know how, because obviously, like, since like the early days of us watching comedy from back in the day, our sense of humor has evolved. So not everything hits the same anymore.
Yeah,
like,
true.
I mean, like things like Aeroplane and Scrooge always hit every single day. But it's something new, so I'm very curious.
Okay,
I'll see if I can get some clips and I'll pass them your way.
Cool. Can I give a slide in quickly and give a shout out to Atlanta?
Oh yes,
season 4,
yeah,
episode 8, the goof who sat by the door.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically is a kind of mockumentary in a world where Michael Eisner dies and a black animator is made the CEO of Disney and uses his authority to make the blackest movie of all time. And that movie is a Goofy movie. And I just watch it. I mean, me, brother and I actually watched Goofy movie on Christmas Day. It's one of our favorites. And it's once again Atlanta hit. The Teddy Perkins episode was, I was like, I don't think it can get any more. I was wrong. There are other examples, but yeah, the goof who sat by the door, please watch it. It's amazing. Glover continues to knock it out of the park with Atlanta, which I believe is now coming to an end, I believe. And Just give it a watch, because it's, yeah. I don't want to give nothing away, but just, and also, if you haven't seen a Goofy movie, who are you? And you need to just pause the podcast right now and just go watch it.
Step your game up. That's what I'm gonna say. Step your game up.
Because step your game up. But yeah, it's my little injection there, big man. Sorry.
I was gonna say, was it called regarding film recommendations or highlights and lowlights of filming of this year? To be fair, I think I've seen more good than bad, excluding a certain MCU movie which just didn't hit home with me. But I will say Top Gun Maverick, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I love that film.
Glass Onion.
I need to watch that.
Same.
Terrifier 2.
I won't be watching that.
Terrifier 2, I was going to say there was... Oh, obviously, The Batman, another one for me. And... I'm trying to think, was there any more?
Oh, dude!
Actually,
how can I was going to say, dude, of course there is. Or yeah. X and Pearl.
Definitely, it's coming out of my mouth. Well, yeah, A24. X, Pearl, Bodies.
Did you like Smile?
I haven't seen Smile yet.
All right, okay. I've heard people being surprised by how good Smile is.
Yeah, definitely X, Pearl, Bodies. Definitely
and,
up.
And for those who don't know, X-Pearl is actually now, it's part of a trilogy, which is like, okay, T-West, I see what you're doing. So for those who don't know, I will put the link in the description. My God, it's going to be a bumper description. The final part of the trilogy is Maxine. And that's coming out in, it just says 2023. Yeah. So that's part of a trilogy. We now know, we basically got a secret trilogy that we didn't think was going to happen, didn't know about. So that's X-Pearl and Maxine are a trilogy.
And also, actually, one last shout out for surprisingly went into this with no expectations, but loved it, and that's Violent Night.
Which, okay, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say it.
Okay.
Basically, Violent Night is the film that was in Scrooge, but they just made it real, which was the night the reindeer died in Scrooge with Lee Majors. Yeah. They just made it into an actual film. Love y'all, but I've got to say it. Majors rescuing Chris, the angel was Lee Majors, it wasn't Santa Claus, but
yeah,
the night the reindeer died is basically the blueprint for Violent Night.
But you know what? Fair play. Those were my standout films of 2022, sorry. But the misses. There's been some shocking love scene this year. There's been some poor films, and to start off with, I think Halloween Ends.
You know how vexed you were about that film? You were so vexed you couldn't talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. I couldn't.
Or actually outside the podcast. You just basically were like, yeah,
you just couldn't talk about it, period.
You said, yeah, I watched it. And that was kind of it for Big Man. He just said, I watched it, and that was it. See, he's gone, so next night he's gone silent.
He rage quit.
Like, wow, that's a new one. Halloween Kills was so bad, it made Big Man rage quit the podcast.
Oh, he's back.
He's back. Big Man, okay. I was just saying that Halloween Kills was so bad, it made you rage quit the podcast.
Oh, it did. No, this film, it sucked. I'm just glad I didn't pay hardcore money to see it, because I would have turned into Michael Myers and would have to harm someone in that screening.
Okay, not legally, please. I can't say that.
For real.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was a shocker. I'm sorry, for Love and Thunder.
I liked it. I'm sorry, I liked it. It wasn't as good as Ragnarok, but I still liked it. I didn't think it was.
That's the thing. I think because we all love Ragnarok, we thought, oh yeah, this is going to be a shoo-in. And I just remember leaving thinking, nah.
Here's the question, Big Man: is Thor Ragnarok your first Avenger or Dark World?
Dark World.
Wow. Ooh, that was quick.
So it's not bad. Yeah. So it's not that bad. It's not clearly not that bad. See. So shut up.
Dark World. I can watch First Avenger any time of the week. Dark World is just in my collection gathering dust, yeah. So you know, I actually own Love and Thunder, because unfortunately, as a collector, as we know, you gotta do all of them.
You made a conscious choice. Don't try that. Don't use your addiction to excuse your actions, I'm just saying.
Bro, you just said it all for me, and thank you very much. It was almost like we were of one mind there. And that's what I love about you. Thank you. I'm not saying anything else. But go on, continue to out yourself and your collection. Mm-hmm.
My addiction. No, to be fair, it could be worse. I mean, the only thing that can top that. Now, this is a bit of a bizarre one, because to be fair, I didn't mind it. A lot of people didn't, and that was Black Adam.
It was fun. It was a popcorn film. It was literally The Rock being a superhero. That's basically what it was. It wasn't I still stand by that The Rock shouldn't have been Black Adam.
Yeah.
You should have got someone else who was more capable of an actor. Sorry, Rock, I still love you. Ooh. But
he's not been on point as Be Cool.
To be fair, yeah.
Thank you. Where's the lie?
Be Cool was the last film he acted.
No. Pain and Gain, actually.
Oh, actually, to be fair.
Okay.
To be fair, actually, he was acting that as well. Now he's in his, I'll call it the Bruce Willis phase, where he just plays the same character plays himself. Yeah. So, but now look back on the films Bruce Willis did previously. I kind of noticed that he, you can tell he wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
So you can tell he was actually battling with this thing for a while now. So I feel so I don't hold it against him as much anymore. So why is he doing these films? He looks like he's not even trying anymore. But it's like
because he's not well.
So it makes more sense now. But yeah, that's that, but yeah. To be fair, again, when you're The Rock and you have the credibility and the publicity to do what the fuck you want, you're gonna do it. But
You know what wasn't bad? I watched it the other day. Spirited with Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds.
Really?
It wasn't bad. I watched it at my mate's house. Shout out to Lauren Fee and Paul and Edie. It wasn't bad. It was in the same kind of spirit as Scrooged. It was very self-aware. I liked the musical numbers. I don't want to give away too much if you want to watch it, but Will Ferrell, the character he plays it very well, and I don't want to give anything away. Ryan Reynolds is just Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
What I will say up front, as people like myself and Bruv who are theatre nerds who do love a bit of a good musical, that's where it falls down. Ryan is not the best. He is no Hugh Jackman. He's not. He's there not are times fest. When even no, he's not. He's not. There were times when even Charlie was like, he missed that shuffle change. I'm like, I noticed that too. That's fine. That obviously means that they were at the end of it, where they're like, just record. Will was much better, but I think he's probably had more films of that ilk where he's been challenged. Mm. But I didn't find it. I didn't find, I mean, it's light. It's not Scrooge, but it's Scrooge adjacent. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
As in like Bill Murray, Scrooge adjacent. It's not bad. I think if there's a bit of thing about it, I think it's because some of the things that are being said in there are a bit like, yeah, looking at you guys. And Octavia Butler's in it. It's nice to see her in that kind of role. It's quite fun. It's fun. It's light. It's, I think knowing you two, I think you'd enjoy it.
Okay.
I think it's something to put on in the background. There isn't a standout number, if you get what I mean. There isn't like a, you know, like a greatest show.
Okay.
That's what I will say. The soundtrack to me is like, the dancing is really good. For the people they've got in, oh my God, it's absolutely fantastic. Really good. And like I said, I've seen Ryan and Will in worse.
Fair enough.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Like I said, and some genuinely funny moments. Genuinely funny.
Like, okay, but I think I'm gonna say one thing. I think we should end it on that, on this note.
Okay.
I was thinking about the whole debacle of the DC Warner Bros situation and the fans in anger, like blaming blah 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 X, Y, and Z, and the possibility of Affleck, Gal, and Cavill suing Warner Brothers, and looking like they could actually win the case. Because literally, like, they've basically seen that they've been locked in these contracts for how many years, they miss X amount of jobs, and it's kind of hindered their career, and they are within their right to actually, I think they're going to win it if it's true. But that aside, I finally understand why DC fans are really angry about the cancellation of the DCEU. I kind of get it now. Because look at how Marvel started. Look at where they're at. Think about it. Because of the consistency and maybe what? Two major actor changes in the thing with Cheadle and I guess you could say Ruffalo as well, because obviously it was Edward Norton in the original film.
Yeah, true.
It's been the consistent same characters for the decade. DC, I think the fact that they're cancelling the only consistent things they had just really kind of opens their eyes to say that, yeah, like, what the fuck? Why can't we have consistency? I get the angle, but like, again, placing the blame on Rock, or like,
it's too easy.
Yeah, it's like, again, I see it from both sides, like, it was like Black Adam was a vanity project. hands down, it was a vanity project. But you know, I'm sorry, if I'm The Rock and I got money and I want to be a superhero, I've had my name tied. You're gonna do it. And especially if I had my name tied to this bloody film for how many years, like since the bloody Tooth Fairy days. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're gonna do it. So like, but like to say that ruined Henry Cavill's career. I was like, he basically got him back. He tried to get him back. Wanted to sell his own film, but why? But yeah, because he's a businessman. He wants to make money. He wants to get publicity. It's a selfish or a vanity act, but it's business. That's how business works, you know. But the fact about the man got the man's job, you try to get the man's job back. So I don't. Yeah. I just find it really, really juvenile and silly. But I get it why the fans are angry, because they they've had three different Jokers. Well, two different Jokers. One, and one came. The second one came back again. They've had two different Batmans. They've had two different Supermen. Superman, one of the Henry Cavill, and one that was just a nameless, faceless guy. The Aquaman, the Amber Heard debacle with Aquaman, the bloody Ezra Miller shit, the Ray Fisher shit. You know, like it's. But apparently, he's coming back to DC. Actually,
who is
Ray Fisher?
Wow,
I think James Gunn has got him for something. I can't remember what it is, but I think James Gunn's got him for a job in the new DC stuff.
And you're right, because that's a part of it. You invest in characters where you become familiar. I mean, look at Christina Ricci and Adam's Family. She did that twice, and people were and it was done so well that people were like, "This new one better hit." I haven't seen it, but I have heard really good things about it, and Christina Ricci is in it. It's you're invested because you become familiar and comfortable with the characters and the people behind them that they've infused in it, you know. And that is part, you're right, that is part of the thing with Marvel, is we got used to, we're watching good or bad or in between in the movies, we get used to the characters and we see either their arcs, and sometimes we're frustrated because it's not pushing to their fullest potential. You know, as I've said on this podcast many times, First Avenger is one of my most disliked MCU movies, but then in the same token, my second most liked movie is Winter Soldier. And a part of what has brought together Endgame and all of that is Cap. Is watching The Journey and is watching Chris Evans' performance, especially as a person who's a man out of time.
Yeah.
We've heard that phrase so many times, a man out of time. It was done beautifully under Chris Evans. And you know, and it made me actually like him so much more with other performances. That and Scott Pilgrim, oh my God, I love him so much. But you're right, bruv, and it's a shame that they should be robbed of that. And it's so awful to kind of not allow people to infuse a character. There's a reason why we were always joyous despite when we were skeptical about Hugh Jackman, that he came back as Wolverine every time. And then we got to see an arc from not knowing him to infusing the role with his own personality to watching it end in Logan, which is absolutely one of, to me, still not rated high enough as a comic movie. Logan is absolutely and to watch Hugh Jackman do it from, and even I sit there and get emotional where I'm like, I remember I was one of the haters who didn't want you in this role. And I honestly, I'm so proud that you did it. And every time I see him with Ryan going, yeah, I'll do it, I'm like, yes, come again, my bro. Come again, my G. Come one more time. One more time for the man's name. So, I hear you. And you're right. Now you said, I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Because you don't get to bond with someone. You don't get to link.
Time. They've rushed
there's
it
no time.
So, they've rushed it so fast and didn't give it enough time to breathe. Never got to know. Didn't really get to know the characters. What people did was obviously take what they know about the characters from their experience, be it in comic books, be it in animated shows or old TV series, and put it onto that character and think, okay, that's my guy. That's my Superman. And then when it was taken away from him, because let's be honest, Cavill looked fucking amazing as Superman.
He did.
And to have it taken away was just like, that's my Superman's gone. I was just getting used to him. I still
Especially because it's tainted. Superman's tainted because we lost. We've already lost our super. Like we've lost the guy who actually came in and bodied it and made it something. Christopher Reeve. Mm-hmm. We watched that happen and we were like, oh my. So then it's like, well, who gets to wear it now? Who gets to do that now? And just as you were getting comfortable with Cavill. And it's almost, I kind of almost feel a bit like Ruth didn't get enough time either, but I'm not sure he could have done it in the way it was done. Yeah. It was all right, but it didn't have enough punch. Whereas Cavill did have that punch. And it's a shame we don't get to, yeah, to kind of let him flesh out that role and have further nuances. That's what a good actor, an actress, or you know, in general, should do is flesh out these characters and breathe life into them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, I'm going to end by quoting Neil Gaiman, and one of the issues with DC, it's about making good art.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave a link to his talk about making good art, and because I find it inspiring, and I hope you guys do too. But it's a wonderful thing about making good art and doing and speaking in a genuine voice. I know we're here to make money. I'm not naive enough, but the truth is you're happy to give up your coin when you feel like you had a damn good time, right? And that's what Make Good Art is about. Mm. But actually, Big Man, I don't want to cut you out of this, man. Sorry. Oh,
he's gone. You cut him out again, Chantel, what the fuck?
I didn't mean to cut him out. Come back. I'm sorry.
Oh, he came back.
There you are. You were saying, Big Man, you were saying.
No, I said, no, it's all good. No, everything about what you both just said just summed up perfectly. The DC Universe does need a major reboot, and I wish Gunn the very best, and it's just a shame because, don't get me wrong, we all grew up and loved everything Christopher Reeve did for Superman. But for me, for what Cavill did, let alone in Man of Steel, for me, I'm like, you know what, this is the Superman I've always wanted. Granted, yes, he did cause a hell of a lot of disruption as the character, all the explosions and whatnot. But if you read a Superman comic, he did do that.
Yep, for real.
Yeah, he always just went on.
Not really.
Well, if you put a boss for a building, there will be some damage, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, to be fair, like he picked the fight, and you, like the Superman I know would be very careful to like take the fight elsewhere. But like obviously there are times where you can't control it, you can't control what happens, mm-hmm. especially. But in a lot of the fights in Man of Steel, he was picking the fight.
And that's why I think what made me love him even more, because even the key scene where they attack
Big Man Energy.
They attack Marva. Oh god, I can't just said that. Oh, and he flies across the screen, beating the hell, saying, "Don't you ever touch my mom." I thought that is the type of shit I want to see Superman do. Yeah. Not even questioning, just beating the hell out of it, someone that touched his mom. And fair play. That's, you know, I might watch Man of Steel tonight. She has been a while.
Bruv, now Man of Steel is like Big Man Energy.
Yeah, it is what it is. I can't be bothered to watch
it. Don't cuss my mum, you know. Blood, I look, me and you. Like, okay, Superman. Superman, Roadman, Superman.
Hey, now that's an idea. Roadman suits.
Okay, you know, end it now. I'm done.
Okay, yeah, you know what? On that note, Roadman, Superman, what have I done for 2023? Oh my goodness. Once again, thank you for your ears. We always appreciate it. We absolutely love doing this. If you want to check us out on social media, Instagram is A Messed Up Pod, Twitter, for however long that keeps going, and Messed. Bruv, what is your socials?
You can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic _KB. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok and Twitch under Instant Classic _gaming.
Big Man.
And you can find me on Twitter at War3782 and on the gram at Mr_Roberts_VR.
What's your thinking? Yeah, we don't
virtual reality Roadman Superman. So you can also email us at centuriesavengers@gmail.com and you can apparently email bigman@roadman.gmail.com.
VR.
VR, sorry, my bad. Thank you very much for your ears and time. I wish you the best for the new year, and may the best of your past be the worst of your future.
Ooh. Happy New Year.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Cut at Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.